Welcome to the Star Coalition Podcast. Today we sat down with Tony Moore. Although Tony began experiencing symptoms of mental illness in his late teens, it was not until 1996, at the age of 35, he was officially diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. We were fortunate to be able to have Tony share his life, his recovery, and his thoughts on clinical research. So tell me a little bit about your history within mental health and behavioral health. What are some things that kind of brought you to where you are here today?
It's just the audio part of it, which is the sound, what I hear. I hear things in my head, voices, dogs barking. Then you got the vision part of it. I see things that other people say they don't see. I had a bad accident from something that I felt was coming across the road. But actually, in reality, it wasn't anything, because the person that was in the car with me didn't see it. And then I hear things, I feel things that's crawling on me. I smell things sometimes that nobody else smell. Just a couple of days ago, I smelled something that smelled like popcorn, burnt popcorn, but it wasn't. Nobody else smelled. So that's part of what's going on with me, and what that led to. I went on and it runs in my family, but I went on and had something done about it. I went to the doctor, in and out the hospital, in and out. I stay sometimes. Sometimes I go and come right back home. Sometimes I stay about 10 days and get my meds right. And so finally I went on and I was, in 96, I was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenia. And they put me on medication, seemed to be doing better on medicine than I was without my medicine. And I've been in treatment. I've been hearing respiration for almost 2 years now. So bottom line is I had to, stay on my medicine, because I do good on my medicine. When I'm not on my medicine, I don't do so good. I don't get no sleep. The voices keep me up all night. I hear things, people knocking on my door. Dogs barking, I hear something under my bed. And seeing things that, what I'm saying? So I just came to the conclusion that I had to stay on my medicine. And I didn't want to, because I didn't want to. For a long time, I was in denial. There wasn't nothing wrong with me. Although my mother and my sister had the same symptoms, same problems that I had. So finally I went on and I just gave in. And I said, since I was doing better on the medicine, that's why I stay on my medicine now, and come to inspiration and got a treatment team. And I worked with them every day, 5 days a week, every week.
How old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 53.
And when did you first start experiencing some of these symptoms?
Like 19, 20.
So you're about 19 or 20.
Yeah.
But you didn't seek treatment until 96, which was right. 20 years ago. So you were 35
and
or
now.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want people to look at me like some say, you crazy, they got these stereotypes. But I didn't want them to look at me. So I was just like everybody else. In my mind, ain't nothing wrong with me. Although I was having these problems, I didn't want to admit it.
So a lot of it had to do with the stigma,
right, yes,
associated with that.
You right.
Want people to see you as somebody with a mental illness.
Right. Yeah.
But that changed, I guess, when you realized that you needed to reach out.
I had to.
And what was that moment? What was the moment that you said, I've got to find help?
Losing a lot of good jobs that I had. Not being able to keep a job. Nowhere to live. Because I couldn't work, couldn't pay no bills. You know. Like, I done had probably 15, 20 jobs in my lifetime, but I couldn't stay on one, you know what I'm saying? The longest I stayed on one probably was maybe a year and a half. Yeah.
So, one thing I thought was really interesting, you've gone through a lot of different treatments, you've been to different facilities, right? Mm-hmm. You've been through a lot of treatments. We were talking the other day, and I was sitting in on an assessment, and you allowed me to do that. Mm-hmm. And you talked about the idea of clinical research.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was asked, you know, why do you want to do this? And you say, because I want to not only maybe feel better myself, but I want to feel like maybe I can help others too. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, one reason I do them, you know, for one reason, I hope they can find a cure one day so I wouldn't have to take all this medicine. And if they can find a cure, then maybe, you know what I'm saying, I can go out and go places and maybe talk to other people with the same diagnosis that I have, and maybe, you know, they're not getting help, and I could relate to them and maybe tell them about inspiration and tell them about woodland and other places, birch tree, you know, places like that that help people like myself.
So what are some things that, tell me a little bit about your experiences. Were you nervous the first time you went into a trial? Do you still get nervous whenever you have to, then when you possibly enter a trial? What's that initial feeling like when you take a step into doing something?
When I first started doing them, I'm not nervous no more with them because you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of familiar with how they operate. But when I first started doing them, I was real nervous because one reason I was nervous because I kind of wanted to take myself out to trial because I believe I was on a placebo. It was like a sugar pill because my symptoms wasn't getting better. It seemed like it was getting worse, and they told me if I'm having any problems to let them know they would take me out of it. But I stuck to it. And I made it through it. But yeah, I'd be a little, not now, but when I first started doing them, I was real nervous.
How important is it that the relationships that you have with people at the clinical research facility?
The workers?
Yeah. Does that matter?
It matters. It matters. I mean, they all, the ones I've been to, I'm pretty comfortable around. I trust them, you know. Cause they haven't, lied to me, did anything to me to, make me not like them. Now in society, it's kind of different. Feel like, I don't know, it's just feel like somebody's trying to do something to harm me sometimes. And for what reason, I don't know, cause I hadn't bothered nobody, but, a lot of people tell me that it's just my paranoia, but I mean, I just had that feeling. But yeah, it's really important. The people that work there, yeah, it makes a difference. It does.
So, are there any particular things that have happened over your experiences in clinical trials that you thought was good or could be changed for the better, or any thoughts? You knew we were going to be talking about this. Anything kind of pop into your mind that you might want to talk about the clinical research process?
I don't see them changing too much about it because they're doing a very good job over there. Not to my knowledge, I don't want them to change anything. They ain't doing nothing wrong. and for something to make it better, I mean, I'm satisfied just, I mean, what I've been through over there, I'm satisfied the way they run it now. I don't know nothing different that they could do. They've been over backwards for you.
What would you say to people who may be thinking about going into a clinical trial?
I would offer them a word of encouragement because I've been around negative people that be like, man, I wouldn't dare do any one of them things. And I'm like, you know, because, man, you go in there, you don't know if you're going to come back out the same or you might come back out worse. The pill might do something to make you go off the wall. I mean, you know what I'm saying, not be the same. I haven't went AWOL or nothing, you know. I think it's good for them to try it out, you know. And that's just for, you know, for the cure. And plus, it's good for their finances. They might need a little help, you know, in finances. But at the same time, you helping them find a cure, try to find a cure for schizophrenic, bipolar, or whatever their diagnosis might be. But I would encourage them. I wouldn't say nothing negative about the program, because I hear people talk about it. Man, I wouldn't dare do that. I ain't going over there. But I just, you know, I tell them up front, you know, hey, it hadn't done anything to me, you know.
Let me ask you a question then, just to kind of go back just a step or two. When did you first hear about clinical trials, and where do you remember the first time you heard about those?
Probably like about, I just heard about them about 8 years ago. Yeah.
How did you hear about them?
Watching TV, and a commercial came on about Woodland, and I called this number because it was my diagnosis. And I called this number, and they called me in and done a screening on me. Mm-hmm. And from there, I've been like a one-to-one that they would call in whenever they have something. They would call me in. They give you a time frame for when you do one, you can't just do one and jump into another. You have to, some of them is different. Some of them you have to wait 30 days. Some of them you have to wait 60 days. And then you'll be eligible for another one that comes up. But I heard about it through watching TV.
Well, I just think it's important for you and other people who take part in clinical trials to know that you are the hero, that because of, and you struggle with your symptoms, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But yet you're willing to give of yourself in order to maybe help others, mm-hmm. and help yourself too. But that takes a hero. Mm-hmm. That takes someone with a lot of courage. And
right.
I just want to say that I'm not alone in thinking that you're a hero in doing this, mm-hmm. and that you are a part of a group of individuals who are willing to say, I will do what I can in order that maybe future generations or maybe even myself will see a cure to some of these illnesses that we're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to know that I admire you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
I really do. Anyway, stay strong. Mm-hmm. Okay. I appreciate it. I hope that you'll come back and do another podcast with us sometime and tell us how things are going.
Know.
All right. Thanks, mm-hmm. Tony. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Luke.
All right. I'd like to thank Tony for joining us today and allowing us just a brief glimpse into his world. He is an extraordinary man. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Please check back often, where we'll have new guests to talk about areas of treatment, advocacy, research, and recovery. Also, visit us on our website at www.thestar.org, thestarr.org. Find out more about our organization and keep in touch with us. Thanks for joining.